As we come to pray this morning, I want to leave a prayer request with you, and it's from our sister Diana, and praying especially for her young son Felix. He is going to be facing surgery tomorrow morning, and we want to just pray that the Lord would give great comfort to this little fellow, and that he would not be distressed or nervous about the surgery that he has to have tomorrow morning. So let's bring that, please, before the Lord today. And remember also those who are, well, themselves going through great trials within their own families. It might be physical. Those are difficult enough. Sometimes the spiritual ones are greater and heavier, and they tear the heart more. And let's bring all of these things before God today. And most especially that we might be filled with a true heart of worship to Him, because He is worthy of all and of much more than we can give. Wesley wrote, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." Well, the Lord has given to us one tongue, one voice, and let us use that for His praise this morning. Heavenly Father, what joy there is in our hearts to be able to come again, beginning of this new week. And we have the privilege of being in your house in the place of prayer and to offer our thanksgiving and our worship in song and in prayer as we read the scriptures and as we listen and proclaim the truth. All of these aspects, Lord, you have given to us as the people of God, that we might build up each other and be built up in our most holy faith. Lord, take away from us, we pray, any idea or notion of just going through the motions of coming to church. I pray, Lord, that there would be very distinctly in every believing heart a sense of the solemnity of what we are about, a sense of understanding that we are approaching the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of heaven and earth. And, oh, Father, we pray this will be in our minds, that we will shut out frivolous thoughts and foolish thinking. Oh God, we will give attention to the Word today. We'll give attention to the ministry of the Spirit of God in our own hearts. Lord, come near and help us. We know that there are many things that affect us. And personally, some things we cannot share with others. We just must bear them at the throne of grace, which is the best place that we can bring our burdens. And Lord, as we do know of other problems that families or individuals have, we bring these matters before the throne of grace. For Lord, you have told us to do that very thing. So we are following, Father, the command that we've been given. We're following the great opportunity and privilege to cast our burdens upon the Lord, for you've promised, Father, to sustain us. And today we bring the needs of every family. We bring the needs of those who are unsaved in our families, praying for their salvation, praying for those that have known the way, made professions of faith, but today they have drifted away, cold in heart. Perhaps the devil seems to have taken the upper hand. Lord, defeat Satan in their lives, we ask, and bring them again to a true heart love for the Savior and a love for the Scripture and a desire that their lives would be meaningful and useful in the kingdom of Christ. Our dear Father, we pray for our sick ones this morning and ask for your gracious hand of healing and of help and of grace and of sustaining power in their lives. We ask, Lord, especially for Felix this morning, Lord, your hand would be upon him, and that you would bless this young fellow and give him great peace in his heart. Bless his dear mom. We know that sometimes the parents, they bear a heavier weight in these situations. And so bless Diana and Michael as well and their home. And Father, bring Felix safely through the surgery and help him to recover quickly. Remember our sister Hyacinth today, as she is still bearing the heavy burden of her sister who is not well. We're thankful for some little improvement in the recent surgery. But Lord, we pray that great grace will be given to her at this time. And Lord, the other matters that we bring urgently, we think of Madhavi today as she has returned overseas for a period of time to be with her family. Lord, bless her, we ask, and just watch over her. Remember the needs of our ministry here and all the work among the boys and girls, among the teenagers, the young adults, and our adult Bible classes, and all of these ministries. Lord, we gather them all under the umbrella of your providential love and care. Lord, carry us forward. We want our congregation to go forward in the joy and strength and prosperity of your gracious blessing on us. Lord, we want to be useful in your kingdom. Make use of us, we pray. Help us to be soul winners, to be testimonies and light, signposts to point men and women to Christ. Lord, we are thankful for the time of fellowship that the men enjoyed yesterday morning here, and for everyone who was gathered in for the good message that we heard. Lord, may there be yet signs following the blessing of fellowship and even in the salvation of any who are there who are without Christ. Dear Lord, bless, we pray, all of our ministries. Bless our missionaries. You know, Lord, the needs of all of our works that are going on. And we ask for your overseeing care in each one. Bless us now today. Be with us as we continue in our worship. For we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We're going to sing again to the Lord's honor at this point, and we have a hymn for you that is based upon Psalm 24 and also connected to Revelation 3 and verse 20. And that's the scripture that I want to speak to you on today in our services this morning and tonight. It's called "Lift Up Your Heads, Ye Mighty Gates," and of course taken from Psalm 24. And the tune, though the words are new to us, the tune is a familiar one. So I'm going to ask the organist and the piano to play through one time the opening verse as you're watching the words, and then we will all stand as we sing. Do that one more time through, and we'll watch the words of verse 2, and then we'll come back to verse 1. Let's all stand as we sing. opening verse one more time. You may be seated. You did very well in singing that one, and the words are tremendous. May the Lord write the truth of them upon every heart. We're going to read this morning from the book of Proverbs, chapter 8. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Doth wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way, the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and by revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. May the Lord bless His word to us this morning as we have read. At different times, I have encouraged everyone to use the book of Proverbs in a way for a daily devotional. There are 31 chapters, and therefore it is good to make it a daily reading. And in this particular proverb, wisdom is set before us, and it is really, in a sense, personified. It is presented as someone. And there is no better person that we could see through that personification than the Lord Jesus Himself. He is the one who is the light and the truth and the wisdom, and there is understanding alone in Him. And dear friends, you could not have missed how many times that the wise men used the reference to material things, gold and silver, and riches and wealth, and now he placed wisdom, and by that sense, placing our Lord Jesus in a place that is of such higher possession. We are human. We are of this world. We are those who are of the ground of the earth, and we need resources to survive. And it's not a bad thing to be investing and be working and be saving. Indeed, the wise men would say that a Christian should save as much as they can in order that they might give as much as they can and then have enough to provide for their family as much as they can. So riches and wealth are not a bad thing, but it always has to be kept in perspective. It always has to be kept in the right view. And the Lord would say to us, in all of our getting, in all of our aspiration for wealth, let the highest manner of wealth be that we would have the wisdom of God to guide us, that we would know the fullness of Christ in our life to inspire us, to motivate us, to make our life shine as a witness and a light to Him. So may God bless His word to our hearts this morning. Well, we welcome you all today to our morning service. We're very, very happy that you are here with us today. Want to encourage you, if you're visiting with us for the first time in this meeting, or you've come back to be with us again, you are very, very welcome, and we trust the Lord will encourage your heart and will bless you. We don't leave out the folks who are with us online through sermon audio, that God would encourage your heart. And please reach out to us. We'll have a record of your stay with us in some way in which we can pray for you or be an encouragement to you. We want to do that. Mentioned in the opening, before the opening prayer, about young Felix, and he's going for surgery tomorrow. Please remember Diana and Michael, their family, in your prayer, and also for Felix. We had yesterday morning in the church a breakfast, a men's breakfast, young men and older men. I'll not say old men, just say older men. That sounds a bit better. But we had about 50 men gathered in, and it was a very special time of fellowship. I want to thank the ladies that were participating, that really provided all the food for us. The men didn't have to do anything but eat, and that was good. And so much appreciation to the ladies involved in that. And also appreciation from to Brother Gallagher, Ian Gallagher, the pastor. He was our visiting speaker yesterday morning and brought an excellent word. And that was recorded, by the way. And so if you want to get a copy of that, that can be emailed to you. You speak to Brother Jonathan McAnally and he'll be sure you get a copy of that. But it was a time of rejoicing, and we're thankful for that time. Remember today, please, our ministry at 5:50, our pre-service prayer time, and then our evening service tonight at 6:30. And then following that, there will be our monthly time of fellowship afterward, of some light refreshments, and please remember that and expect to come along and enjoy that time. Now, on Tuesday night, there's going to be the next of the ladies' Bible study, and that will be at 7 p.m. It's a Zoom-only meeting, and so if you would like to connect on there, you can see Brother McAnally, and he'll be sure you get that. If you are getting our church emails regularly, then that link is attached on there, and you will be able to join on 7 p.m. on Tuesday. Well, this is an exciting week. We have a lot of things going on, and Wednesday is a very special meeting because it is our annual general meeting. And, of course, we have this once a year to review the reports, actually, of 2023. And we're so far into 24 already, but nonetheless, it is a recording and a reviewing of what the Lord has done for us in the accounts of 23. And we will have several reports from the major ministries of our congregation and the work that God is done for us. But also on Wednesday night, it is going to be the elder election. And this is something that we have been thinking and praying about and taking all the necessary steps in preparation. So we're looking forward to that. And the actual voting for the elder election will be by members only. And if you cannot attend the service Wednesday night, but you are a member, that you're able to do an advance vote, and you can see Brother Robinson or Brother Fraser, and they will be sure to give you those ballots, and then you can return that back to him. They'll be opened only on Wednesday night at the meeting when the votes are tabulated. So that's an important thing. Now, let me emphasize, though members only are the ones who will be voting, everyone is welcome, and we want you to come along and just see how an annual general meeting works. Just observe how an election of elders and deacons in our congregation operates. This is an important time. And there will be, again, you think that every meeting we have we're eating, but there will be refreshments after on Wednesday night as well. And so we look forward to that. These are always good times to just to be together. And so we think about that for Wednesday night. But most of all, for prayer, for the Lord's will to be done in that meeting on Wednesday night. Next Lord's Day, our Bible classes begin at 9:45. And if you're part of the teaching staff, you should be here by 9:30 in order to be well prepared and ready for the first ones who will be in attendance. And then we will have our regular morning service at 11 and our evening service at 6:30. Communion will be after the morning service next Lord's Day. I think I said a couple weeks ago it was going to be the evening one, but I was fast-forwarding to June and missing out the month of May. So we will be having our communion service next Lord's Day in the morning, and then the June one, God willing, will be in the evening after the evening service. I would ask for your ongoing prayer for my upcoming mission trip to Mexico. That will be just before the presbytery and prayer time in the month of May in Greenville. So we'll be going to Mexico first of all, and then to Greenville. So I'd appreciate very much your prayers. They're going to be the ordination of three elders in our Mexico City work. And this is the first time for them to elect elders to their church. So it's a milestone ministry for them. And I have, by thankful to the Lord, I have the privilege of being the moderator of our denomination. So I'm able to go there and just participate and help and bring the word in that service. And so please keep that before the Lord. That will be on May the 12th, that Lord's Day, and appreciate your prayers for that. I'll be also heading down to Cordoba, which is Pastor Lalo Pena's church. It is about 5 hours or so from Mexico City. And then Jason Boyle, the minister of Mexico City, has also another missionary visit that he has planned for that time. So it will be steady, and looking forward to the time of fellowship, but praying that the Lord will go in front of us for all of our meetings, and especially our presbytery and our prayer times the second full week of May. We're going to sing again to the Lord's praise, and it is another song that is a new one for us, but again, the tune is well known, so that's not going to be a difficulty. Let every ear attend. And really, another title for this hymn could be, Behold, I Stand at the Door and Knock. And so we want to sing this hymn. So remain seated as the instruments play through the first and second verses, and then we will stand to sing. Thank you. Amen. As I came across this hymn in my study this week, and I felt it was so fitting for the subject that I want to speak about this morning, it's one of those hymns that as you read through it and you meditate on the words, you just want it to keep going. You just want it to be another stanza, another verse, because it so brings out the heart and the desire of the soul as we are seeking the Lord for His grace. Please turn in your Bibles with me now to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Book of Revelation, chapter 3, we're reading from verse 14 to the end of the chapter. And unto the angel, the messenger, the minister of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup, have fellowship with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. May God bless his word as we have read to our hearts. Please, let's be still now and ask for him to help us understand and write it on our minds. Lord, we have your holy word open once again. It is a great privilege for us, and I pray we will not ever become weary or tired or take for granted this great opportunity. Bless the word to our hearts. Give us all understanding minds. Help me, I pray, that I might know the power of the Holy Spirit to speak the word simply, clearly, and plainly. Lord, for any unsaved ones today, I would say quite frankly, Lord, is it not time to save? We are in the day of gospel opportunity, and I pray, Lord, that you would work in their hearts. Now, Lord, hear our prayer this morning. We ask now in the Savior's holy name. Amen. Well, it was shortly after Stephen had been chosen to serve as a deacon in the early New Testament church that he was brutally martyred. He was stoned to death by an angry Jewish mob, the same ones that had crucified the Son of God. And with his dying breath, he looked to the Lord and he said, "Father, forgive them. Lay not this charge to them." And with those words just coming from his inner being, he looked up toward heaven and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the throne of God. And he stood to welcome his servant into glory and everlasting life. Such an honor given by the King of Kings, who is seated on his throne in power and in glory, to stand up for his faithful, suffering, fearless servant was an action that it cannot be overlooked, certainly cannot be overstated. But once again, we are presented with the Lord Jesus, our Savior, standing. But the reason in our text today is different. This time, he is in front of a closed door, and he is knocking. Whose door is it? Why is it closed? How long will the Lord be there seeking entrance? These questions are important because of the context of Revelation 3 and the church to whom the Lord was sending this message. It was the church of Laodicea, written, of course, by the Apostle John under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the church of Laodicea is perhaps the most well-known of the seven churches of Asia, but not for a good reason. You see, this congregation of people had a rather inflated opinion of their worth. Where they stood with God, they thought it was okay. They thought the Lord was really happy with them. But they were proud, and they were materialistic. They were self-sufficient. They viewed themselves as being rich. They viewed themselves as being gifted, and they thought they had perception and wisdom. They thought they were pretty beautiful. They had it all together. Everything was in order. The church was moving very smoothly. It was a well-oiled machine. Everything was in order. And as they went out in society, people looked at them and said, "Oh, they're from Laodicea. We know who those people are." But the way the Lord saw them was vastly different. Oh, friends, is there not a word to our hearts even at this point? That people look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And we might have all things looking well to an outside world, even to those within the church. It all might look well. But is it well in the heart? The question you might ask yourself today, if you are at all concerned, is how does the Lord see my life? How does he look upon me? Never mind, how does he look upon the person next to you, or the person in the next church, or the person in the next country? How does he look upon me? And it's important for us to think about that. You see, as the Lord viewed this church, He saw them as spiritually lukewarm. Now, before they were saved, they were ice cold. There's no doubt about that, because without Christ and without salvation, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. There is no life in us. There is no light in us. We are like a corpse that is ice cold. No life, no breath, no warmth. But of course, after they were saved, and you could imagine that when this church received the gospel, or I should back it up a little bit and say, when those people in Laodicea were saved by the Lord's grace, and a group of them began to meet and fellowship, and a church was formed there. You would have to imagine or conclude that there was some zeal, there was some life, there was some light and hope and energy in that young body of believers when they started. And so they began and they moved forward. But as the time went past, something happened. And I don't think it happened overnight. Things like this don't happen overnight. It's not by the snap of the finger that things changed. But indeed, change did happen. And it came to them somewhat imperceptibly, though I cannot imagine that there were not people in that church that did not perceive something is wrong. Something is not quite right here. And therefore, with that conclusion, they might have to say to themselves, I don't know what we can do to fix the problem, but I'm sure that something is not all right. But then, you know what happens? The devil comes along and he says, don't get too uptight about these matters. Just keep going. Be smooth. Be cool. Don't be hyper-religious. Don't be over-spiritual. And things are going to be all right. And so on the church develops. How many years? We're not quite clear. But there was a view that the Lord had, and they were no longer ice cold in unsaved situation, but they were no longer zealous and hot for the Lord as once they were. Now things had become tepid. They were lukewarm. And the Lord says, I were that you were either hot or cold, but you are lukewarm. And he said, I would vomit you out of my mouth. It's important for us, isn't it, when we read a scripture like this, to ask the Lord's question in our own heart, how does it affect me? Where am I in all this? The Lord said, you're lukewarm, you are poor, you thought you're rich, you're blind. You thought you had good eyesight, you could have perception, you could see. You thought you were well clothed and you had everything in order, but you're naked. And you thought you're wise, but you're foolish. So in every single point where they were looking at promoting themselves, the Lord shook his head and said, no, 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 no. And down the line it went. The Lord chastened them and he corrected them sternly, desiring that they would open the door of their hearts again. And they would have fellowship restored with the Lord that they had so foolishly ignored, and they had just become cold in their heart again. I want us to think about Revelation 3 and 20. These are well-known words. The words of Christ. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will feast, sup, have fellowship with him, and he with me. And I pray that The Lord will help us to understand, as the application here is definitely for a people, individual or group, that is not going on with the Lord as once they were. But I say to you also, friends, that there is application here for those that are unsaved, those that are outside of Jesus Christ. They've never been born of the Spirit of God. And so we're going to look at this verse of Scripture in both of our services today. And in the morning service, I want you to think on this main point: the Lord's gracious approach to us. The Lord's gracious approach to us. Christ is knocking at the door of our hearts. Now, you can sometimes tell the manner of the person that wants to have access to your house or your building or the room, depending on how they come to knock. Likely you've heard some people, they come to your front door and the knock will be kind of a general inquiry. It's simple. It's a general knock. And when that happens, you may wonder, well, I don't recognize that knock. I don't recognize that person necessarily. You may decide to go or not go and answer the door depending on the circumstance. Most times you will, and you will find out who it is. If it's an Amazon delivery, you don't even get a knock. They throw the package at the front door maybe, and it might be there when you get home or it might not be, depending on the porch pirates and how active they are in your neighborhood. But that's another issue altogether. It might be a friendly knock at the door. And I think you've heard those. It's something like that. And if you get one of those at the door, you're assuming it's a friend, although it could be a crook that's just been presenting himself as a friend, but it's generally a friendly kind of a knock at the door. You might get a knock at the door that is more authoritative, and it would be someone who it might follow with, "This is the police," and they would want you to open up immediately because they have something to do with you, and maybe it's an authoritative knock. There are, of course, times when you may receive something that is more of an angry or a violent knock, and it would be more of a pounding at the door. "Let me in, or else." And, of course, that is one that you would not be wanting to open. But the final one I leave with you is the knock that would be described as something that is concerned, someone who's concerned, and persistency. And this scenario might play out. Let's supposing you had a neighbor that was an elderly neighbor, and you knew that they were alone, and you were helping them. Maybe you bought groceries, maybe you had good connection, but a day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days have gone by, and you haven't heard anything, and you haven't seen anything in the home, so you want to go to the front door, and you're going to knock. "Mrs. Smith, are you there? Are you okay?" And you knock, and you keep knocking, and you keep knocking because now your concern is being heightened with no response. No one's coming to the door, no answer. Now are we going to have to call the emergency people because we need to find out if there's a problem? And I suggest to you, my friends, that as the Lord Jesus Christ is standing at the door of our hearts, His knock is one of concern and great persistence. When the Lord knocks at the door of our soul, He does it with the most genuine of intentions and concern. The question comes to us today, and maybe especially to you if you're not a Christian: are you listening to the knock of the Lord Jesus? But the question might come to us for a bit of clarity. How does the Lord knock at your door? What are the ways in which he would use to get your attention. And I say to you, if you are unsaved, you have not been born again by the Spirit of God. And I'm not saying if that you've attended church for some time, you may be brought up in Sunday school, but the point is today, this morning, you are not a Christian. You're not a believer. How are some of the ways in which God and which Christ has been knocking at your door? I say to you that he knocks at the door of the unsaved person through nature and creation. He knocks there to show the existence of God and the creative power of the God who inhabits heaven and earth. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." And so nature itself is always amplifying and sending out the message. There is a supreme being who is responsible for the creation of all these things. Because in nature, what do you see? You see order, you see structure, you see design. And with those things in nature, behind that order and structure and a design, there is a designer. There is a mind, there is an entity, a being who is responsible for this order and the structure that we see around us. Yet no matter how persistently the God of creation knocks, men and women ignore and refuse to open, desiring rather what? Well, it seems they would rather hulk around in the fusty attic of their own mind. And they would conjure up all of their own rusty things and believe almost anything apart from the God that created all things, including them. And nature and creation and the God of order and the evidence of design, it is all around us. And yet man continues to shut it out and to ignore that knocking at the door of the heart. What's another way in which the Lord knocks? My dear friends, he knocks by the very existence of the Bible, the word that he has given to us. It is God's holy and infallible, inspired word of God. It is his revelation. And in the scripture contains God's purpose for man and his love for man. And even though man has sinned and rejected the way of salvation in heaven, yet he is given his loving word. And he speaks, and he does so over and over and over again. And there is hope for those that are entangled in sin. There is hope for those that are destined for hell. And God's truth has spoken that, and you have heard it not just from your own reading, perhaps, but it continues to be God's word as that evidence to all humanity. It is God's precious word. And of course, the people who deny it or disbelieve it, they'll say, "Oh, the Bible's full of contradictions." And if you ask them to name a contradiction, they will be sometimes hard-pressed to do that. And if they do raise a contradiction that is in their mind, I think sometimes the Lord in his word has given out more abundantly what are apparent contradictions. It's almost like giving somebody enough rope to do themselves damage. The clearer study and insight into the Word of God, you will find that there are no contradictions, but there are certainly clear understandings and explanations that the Lord has given. So yes, in nature And with the Bible, God is knocking. But I say this to you, He is also knocking through loved ones in the family. Those people who have earnestly shown the need for your repentance. A mother and a father who have given you the way of truth. They have, as faithfully as they can, they have taught you and they have been an example. And at times they've had to rebuke and chasten. But they have lived before you. And yeah, I get it, maybe imperfectly. And they have lived in front of you with all of their foibles and inconsistencies, and enough for you to point at them and say, yeah, mom and dad, you did this, you did this, you did this. You weren't perfect here. But if you come down to the honesty in your own heart, as your mother and father have known Christ, and they have tried to convey to you the message of life and of hope and of truth, the way of righteousness, you know, it's been Christ knocking at your door through them. That's what this is. How about a faithful grandparent? Oh, you have some fond memories, perhaps, of them in your life. I hope you can, anyways. But if they knew the Lord, and maybe they passed on to their glory now, their inheritance, but they were kind and gentle, and they were faithful, and they shared with you the love of Christ, and you have memory of that today. You know that in your mind. Perhaps it was an aunt or an uncle, a cousin or a guardian that God placed in your life. He put them in your way. And He did so because through them, the Lord Jesus was knocking at your door. And I ask you today, are you listening to that knock? But what about, maybe you attended Sunday school when you were younger. What about faithful Sunday school teachers that week after week opened the Bible and they shared with you in their simplicity the stories of the Bible? Oh, they weren't theologians. Maybe they didn't say things right all the time, but they were trying to do their best to communicate the Word to you. And pastors and faithful preachers that have tried to speak the Word of God. And friends, oh, close friends you may have had, and they opened their heart and they shared the truth with you of your need of Christ. And I think, too, about something I'll call the loving providences, the loving providence of the Lord that have pointed to a divine hand in life's events. How many times have we been protected from harm and from disaster? How many unexplained stops or turns did we take and we were redirected from a course and we were saved from destruction? And the Lord was responsible in those loving providences. And each time He did that, what's He doing to you in your life? Why, He's knocking at your door. And He wants entrance in. Sometimes these loving providences change their hue, their color a little, and they become what we will call stern providences. And they have shown how frail and how tenuous life really is. At any moment, we could be taken. At a heartbeat that stops and our life is over. One breath held away from us, your life is finished. Our life is very fragile. And of course, man thinks in all of his strength and all of his health and all of his prosperity, I'm going to keep on going forever, like the rich fool. You have much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. And the Lord said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then whose shall these things be? And so sometimes by stern providences, the Lord knocks at our door, And the sound then becomes almost deafening, almost enough to wake the dead. Well, of course, isn't that what's necessary? Friend, if you're out of Christ, you need to be wakened from your deadened state. All these methods God has used. And something else, friends. He uses them repeatedly. When I think about that, I'm thinking about how merciful and gracious the Lord is. You know, you and I would get tired very quickly. If someone's not at home, they're not answering the door, you give up pretty soon. But the Lord doesn't give up. He repeats over and over again. Whereas we would think, Lord, what's the point of knocking still? It's a waste of time. They're not interested. How many times have we written somebody off? We look at them and think, oh, they're far gone. They're going to hell. They're not going to make it. And we give up thinking about them. But thank the Lord, He does not give up. He didn't give up on us. And the Lord does not stop and give up, because He's repeating over and over again. And depending on how we respond to the Lord's knocking, are you ignoring still? He's repeating it. And of course, with that repetition, we can sense another aspect of it. It is the aspect of the Lord's patience with us. He is patient with us. If the Lord wasn't patient with us, with all of humanity that has rebelled and sinned against Him, the world deserved destruction when Adam sinned at the beginning. It deserved to be wiped out. But the Lord did not do that. And in this, we witness again and again the patience of God, who gives to us life and breath. For when many lesser times we would have said, okay, have your own way. Look, if you don't want God, if you don't want Christ, if you don't want heaven, if you want hell, have it your way. And we would say to them, you've had enough. You've broken the law of God. You won't repent. You stand before God yourself at the end. You answer and give account for yourself and for your own sin. Because on that day, there will be no defense that you'll have. It will be the point of judgment. Why? Because we are under condemnation. According to John 3 already, we have already broken His law. Judgment is ready to fall. And sometimes we would say, Lord, there's no hope for that person. They're gone. Yet the Lord is patient, and His patience has been shown from the very first time that we were told about our need to repent of our sin, and then the countless times afterward when we have heard that message. The message is, get right with God, repent of sin. Time is running out. You don't know how much time you have left. The Lord says, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. You see, friend, there comes a point where the patience of God does conclude. My Spirit will not always strive with man. Hebrews chapter 10 says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. My, those are strong words. The Lord has given them to us. And the Savior, He has come repeatedly to us. He has come patiently. Ah, but how earnest has the Lord been in His appeals to you, to me? So many appeals, so much knocking, earnestly offering forgiveness and restoration and hope. And each time whether expressed by a pastor, a friend, a loved one, by the Scripture itself, by nature, all of these things that appeal to us to repent and receive Christ. Why do these earnest and urgent messages keep knocking at your heart's door? Is it not because of the unfathomable love of God to you, to me? And all of these things are causes for conviction of sin and the absolute necessity to open the door of the heart and to let Him in. And yet the Lord Jesus remains shut out. Not a thief or a violent intruder to do harm or damage, but one who is willing to give life and freedom and joy and peace and blessing and eternal hope and that which is indescribable, the wealth of Christ given to us. Where do you stand today? The Lord Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." How will you respond? How will you react today? I say to you, He is but a prayer away, and in the simplicity and genuineness of your heart, you simply can pray, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And you confess your sin to Him, and you say, "Lord, I can't do this on my own. I cannot attain heaven on my own. I need you, Lord, in my heart and life." And therefore, friend, I encourage you now not to turn away, but to willingly and humbly open the door of your heart to receive Christ. Because when you do, you will find that He is the most beneficial guest that you could ever invite into your life. And He gives and gives and continues giving because the Lord is merciful to us. I pray, friend, that as we have thought on this today, that the Lord will use His word, and as we continue in looking at this verse tonight, that there will be helpful application for those who are true believers, and that we also will see how the Lord's knocking at our heart's door is not in vain, but it shows His ongoing, His perpetual love for us. We're going to close our service by singing hymn number 309. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. We'll stand, please, to sing. Oh, for that wonderful love He has promised. Promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, and His mercy and pardoned. Pardon for you and for me. Father, we pray today that the Word, Your holy truth, would be written upon every heart. And someone, Lord, here today, someone listening online, that they would humble their hearts and bow their knee and open their heart's door to Christ. Lord, we cannot do that. We present the Word, we speak the message, but we know it is the Holy Spirit that must do that work. Lord, hear our prayer today. Part us now in Your fear with Your rich blessing, for we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Friend, if the Lord's been speaking to your heart today and you are concerned with your soul's salvation, stay behind and we'll talk to you and open the Scriptures how you can know that you truly are saved by the Lord's grace. May God bless you.